Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and joining me today is Shaf Syed. Shaf is a member of Albany CrossFit and the Albany CrossFit Barbell Club. He's an 81-kilo lifter, a rookie, if you will, trying to claw his way up through the rankings and do some awesome things in the sport of weightlifting. Shaf, how are you doing?
Pretty good, you know, surviving with like quarantine and everything.
Yeah, you're living the quarantine life. Yeah. But you've been lifting.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to have a garage set up. It's been working.
One of the best things about this, I guess, is that you never really had to stop your training.
Oh, no. Yeah, not at all. Just, I guess the motivation of like just staying at home and like working out at home, it kind of blows. It doesn't hit the same like being in the actual like gym.
Yeah, it's different being, you know, at Albany CrossFit. We got our platforms, which are brand spanking new. We got all the weights. The music's going. We got the Spider-Verse, you know, soundtrack going. You know, Miguel's in there, you know, ragging on you. Like, Haley's in front of you hitting all of her lifts, you know, making it look easy. So it's
he's coming
I definitely miss it. What was that?
She's coming at me all the time, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the best parts of Barbell Club. Everyone's coming at everybody.
Yeah. I miss the gang. Yeah.
I mean, like sometimes it feels like everybody's always coming at you because one, you're in the center of the room and two, you know, you kind of bring it on yourself maybe a little bit with some of your antics.
I do.
Oh gosh. Well, so how's training been going recently? We've been hitting some big lifts. We went off the blocks recently, right?
Yeah. Totally miss going off the blocks. I think that might be my favorite thing that we do in like barbell in general, just going off the blocks.
You know, I have a feeling it's everyone's favorite thing. Like I should put it out there and poll the group. Like, what is your most favorite thing that we do in Barbell Club? But I think you're right. I think blocks might be either it or it's pretty darn close to being it.
Mm-hmm. It's just
whenever we do a block training cycle, everyone just loves it. Well, you know what? As soon as we're done with this quarantine and we get back, you know what we're doing?
I want to say PRs.
Yeah. PRs. We're going for PRs, but we're going off the blocks too. I feel like we have to do it now.
Okay.
Well, like you're going off the blocks because you have them. Everyone else is working off the hang right now.
Yeah.
So what'd you hit recently?
So day one yesterday, I hit 195 pounds for my snatch. And for clean and jerk, I hit 235 pounds, and for just a clean, because I was trying to hit it for a clean and jerk, I hit 245, which I haven't really been able to do since quarantine started. It's been kind of difficult, so it was kind of cool just getting it on my shoulders.
Are you finding that those heavier weights are really just that much harder just being by yourself?
Yeah, those heavier weights are harder by myself. I had my parents come in just to watch me lift on my heavier weights so I can hit them.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. They should be watching the whole training session, just seeing what this thing is all about.
Nah, they don't want to do that. My mom gets so nervous whenever she's watching me lift. Like, she thinks I'm going to get hurt every single time the bar's over my head.
Is that why they haven't been to any of the meets yet?
Yeah, pretty much. They're just scared that I'm going to get hurt. They've never been to like my sports competitions when like I used to play soccer, and they tried coming to those, but then they would just be so nervous because I would always be like fouled or something like that. And then they would just freak out in the sidelines. And it was like at a point where I was like, yeah, you guys have to stop coming.
Well, let's dive into a little bit more about that. What, before you came to Albany CrossFit, what was your background with sport? And also with training, were you training with barbells before?
So growing up, I played basketball, but then I slowly transitioned to like soccer in like seventh grade because I just started liking that a lot more. And that's actually what I tried playing in college. I played my first season, like in my first semester at college, I played soccer at SUNY Delhi. I didn't like it there that much, so I came back home, and I was always training like just basically powerlifting with like my friends, because that's what they were into at the time, and I just want to get stronger with like soccer in general. So I guess I had like more of a powerlifting background before coming into like Albany CrossFit. But that's pretty much it.
So a lot of squat, bench, deadlift prior to, you know, coming in and learning the snatched and clean jerk. What brought you to Albany CrossFit? How'd you find us?
So in high school in like 20, so this was like 2015, like, so that's my sophomore year. I saw the CrossFit Games documentary on Netflix. And I just fell in love with the sport just after watching that. And I was just always so nervous like to come in because I wasn't like that fit or felt like I could do that stuff. So I just kind of waited until I felt like I was a little bit better at it. And then I started realizing like, oh, well, I'm making barely little progress on my fitness. So eventually I was just like, all right, I'm going to come in, see how it is. And that's pretty much how that went. My daddy.
Well, yeah, that's a common misconception about CrossFit is that you have to get into shape to be able to come in and start doing it. You know, really what you have to do is you just have, it's just like with anything, you just have to start and you'll slowly make progress. And then I think anyone who's done CrossFit realizes as well that it's never going to get to that easy point that you think it would have when you were originally starting out. You're like, okay, well I'll do this until I get fit. And then you realize that there's almost no such thing as fit enough to how you'll have to eventually do the workouts when you do get fitter. And now all of a sudden you're approaching them and you're doing them RX and they get harder, or you start going faster, you take less breaks and they're harder in a new way.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, it's crazy. It never feels easy doing a CrossFit workout.
Definitely. And especially if it has less, you know, some things that will literally never be easy, like the bike or burpees or stuff like that.
Oh yeah. No, like no matter how hard you try doing like improving on the bike, you can do it like every day for like an hour, just trying to work on the bike. It's going to hurt the same every day.
Oh yeah. I remember when you were pretty new still, you were trying to bike like 300 calories a day or something crazy like that.
Oh yeah. So I had a program for like just to increase my endurance. And that was one of the workouts where it was like 300, you had to do like 300 calories on a bike, but it was like there was intervals to it, so it wasn't just like, oh, straight 300 calories. Like you had to like hit a certain amount each like minute or so, and it involved that with like other running stuff like that. And I really saw how it improved my endurance, like going into CrossFit workouts. Like I just felt better doing them after that.
Yeah, it helped. So now to rewind a little bit, you know, you're playing soccer. You're doing some powerlifting just to increase your strength to get better at, you know, soccer. Is that one of the goals that you had with CrossFit? Okay, this is going to increase my endurance. I'm going to get fitter and I'm going to keep trying to pursue soccer at a higher level.
So after my first semester at SUNY Delhi, I came back and told myself I wasn't going to play soccer anymore. So I was just getting into like just fitness in general, just working out, trying to get heavier lifts in. And so going into like CrossFit in general was just like, all right, this is just going to be a new hobby, just see how it goes and just play around with it. Just to stay competitive pretty much. It wasn't really for anything else but that.
So just find a new activity, maintain that fitness. And then there's also that fact that, you know, we have little in-house throwdowns like fall face off and stuff like that. And you can keep your competition spirit alive.
Yep.
What tell me about the early days. Like what was your experience and what were your thoughts on Albany CrossFit when you first walked in through the doors? Did I do your on-ramp?
Yeah, you did my on-ramp. Yeah. It was like you, and then I remember Pat did some of it too.
And yeah, he probably did the rowing day.
Yeah, he did. So I was so nervous coming into it, like my first day. I emailed Shai, told him like I want to try it out, and he was like, all right, here's a free pass to do our on-ramp. And he let my dad do it with me too, because I was just so nervous going into it. So it felt more comfortable with like my dad being there. And then honestly, you made it really easy coming into it, just like explaining everything, just like made me feel better about being in like that environment. And how it's also like how we made the kind of a team with like the group that we had in on ramp. That was really cool too.
Oh yeah, we had team names. Oh, do you remember what your team name was?
It was like the Red Bulls or something like that.
The Red Bulls. There were so many good team names over the years. There was the Star Spangled Tigers, Star Spangled Popcorn Tigers. Excuse me. that was we had a kid in that on ramp, and I'm like, what should we name the group? And she just came back with that right off the bat, and I'm like, how did you think of that? And she's like, it's what I do. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. And I think the Vanilla Raptors was also a favorite of mine.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, Vanilla Raptors. Mm-hmm. So you do the on-ramp program, you know, your dad's doing it with you. You're understanding some of the methodology of CrossFit, and mm-hmm. then you get out into regular classes. How was that transition going from regular class or on-ramp into regular class?
The transition was pretty easy. On-ramp really like prepared, well, I felt like on-ramp really prepared me going into class. Cause like I listened to like what you said, take it easy. Don't be the hero that does RX cause you're really not ready for it coming into it. And that's what I pretty much did. And then I remember my first on-ramp class was like this really long workout with Murph. And I remember it was like one of our fitter CrossFit women that were also doing the workout. It was Nicole. Chuinda, and mm-hmm. She said she was just coming back from an injury, but she was still doing RX women's, which was like with a 35-pound dumbbell. So I was like, all right, let's do something under her. And I used like a 30-pound dumbbell or something like that, and she still managed to beat me. And I was like, oh wow, all right, she's really fit, and I'm not. And I'm glad I listened to James. Going lighter.
Well, I'm glad someone does. You know, it's got to happen once in a while with so many people. But it's you definitely made the right choice because I've seen certainly many people who don't take that advice and they bite off too much they can chew right in the beginning, and then they burn out and they're like, hey, this is dumb. I should be able to do this, and then it's just their own ego gets in the way, and then the next thing you know, 6 months later, they're not doing CrossFit anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I think the people that I did on-ramp with, they're not there anymore.
Yeah, I'd have to look back at the photos to see who was in it. Mm-hmm. It's possible, you know, who knows, maybe some of them just come way early in the morning and we just don't see them. Every now and then I'll see someone from like the 5:30 a.m. class and I'm like, I haven't seen you since your on-ramp 2 years ago. You know, it's great to see you again.
That's funny.
So what were your thoughts when you first came upon the snatch and the clean and jerk? Because that's something that you've been specializing with now for quite some time. What were your first thoughts on those movements and being able to do them?
My first thoughts? Just being like my first snatch ever, just like hitting it, or what do you mean?
Yeah, just hitting it, like first time experiences, if you remember. And like, it's definitely vastly different than like the power lifts, squat, mm-hmm. bench, and deadlift. So I'm assuming, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you had never done them before.
No.
Before you came in.
Mm-hmm. So I guess going heavy with them in like our barbell workout, not barbell workouts, in our CrossFit workouts when it was in the workout for like going heavy. It was really good with having like Murph there with me to like kind of go through the movement, kind of like understand it. And instead of going heavy every my first time coming around, just like try to understand the movement. And then usually if like we were going heavy that day with that movement, that it would be in the workout later, but lighter, but with more reps. I just try, instead of going at full speed, I would just try to understand the movement each and feel out each one instead of just racing everyone else. So honestly, those movements were so tough for me trying to like understand how to do it, because I used to be like that person that you would kind of, you know how you get the bar to your hips and it's like, it's not smooth coming up. Like I used to be that person who had to like hit it on my hips and then have like a little mini dip in before it came up. And it was just like this ugly movement that I hated. And it was just something I really wanted to fix.
You had a little hitch in there.
Yeah, it was bad.
That happens when, you know, you're pulling the bar off the floor and maybe you pulled too long or you're out of balance, and instead of accelerating through the movement and picking up speed, you slow down and you do a double dip.
A double dip.
It's a double dip is a sin, whether it be in weightlifting or at a party. when you put that chip back in the guac or whatever it is. You never want to double dip, Shaf.
Never double dip.
But I think that's a great quality about you, that you saw something that you didn't like and you're like, man, I really want to fix this. And I don't like the way it looks. I need to do something about it. Is that why you joined the barbell club, outside of me probably harassing you until you finally just submitted and joined the barbell club?
Pretty much. Like, so I tried learning on by myself, but I'd never really recorded myself. I was just going by how I felt in the movement. Like, did this feel right? Did I think this was like a good lift or not? And after a while, like, I was at a kind of a plateau where the weight wasn't going anywhere. So after you were haggling me to join a barbell club, I finally gave in because, like, I wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. And haggle means every time I see you, asking you when you're coming, you should come to the barbell club. And it worked, because I remember it was one of your first sessions. It might have been your first session. We were doing a 20-minute EMOM. And you were in, I think, the back of the room in Kim's spot. I don't think Kim was there. Was she there that day?
No, she wasn't there. This was like a month into barbell club. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. So a month into barbell club, you know, you're working on the technique. I remember we were doing a lot of work to fix your split jerk too, which that's typically the case when people join barbell club. But you were in Kim's spot. We're doing a 20-minute EMOM. We had just started probably the beginning of a new training cycle. And you PR'd your snatch mid-EMOM, and you hit 185 pounds at the time, because we hit pounds. And that was just a really good day.
Mm-hmm. That was like a 60-pound PR for no reason.
For no reason. Well, yeah. I mean, for just the practice and the work you were putting in. So that was a huge PR, big increase. And then you discovered that weightlifting is hard, and progress at some point will start to come even slower, because you didn't PR your snatch again until I think the meet you did, right?
Yep. And that was like a year and a half later.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you kept asking me, you know, like what do I got to do? And I'm just like, you got to put in the time, right? You got to put in the reps, and it's going to take a while to move that needle. And we did so many things, you know, so many different drills to move your snatch along. And really in the end, it just turned out being, you just needed that atmosphere.
Yeah, I guess.
Which what we're talking about is the Crispus and Kilos meet to qualify for the Arnold Championships.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was it, right?
Yeah. That's where you hit 200 pounds for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I didn't PR my first meet. That was my second meet. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, second meet. Yeah, your first meet was in Saratoga. You went 6 for 6. You hit 80 and 100, so 180 kilo total. And that was a great meet, because then I got to see what kind of a competitor you are, where you're, you know, like, I thought you were going to kind of be all over the place. So I thought you were going to be, you know, nervous and all this and that. And then you ended up being cool, calm, and collected, just got the headphones in, just very zeroed in on your lifts. And then when it was time to lift, you went out there, you got it done, you crushed all your lifts, made them look great. And is that how you were on soccer? Were you just always like a very focused competitor?
I was just, yeah, I would always put my headphones in. I wouldn't talk to any of my teammates before a game. I would just sit there and just like listen to, I think at the time I mostly listened to like Eminem, just like pump me up. And yeah, that's how I pretty much went into like my games and stuff like that.
What's the go-to Eminem song?
What, my go-to? Cinderella Man.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Honestly, that's like me on the surface. Otherwise, like inside, I'm shitting my pants.
Yeah. Like, that's well, hey, you know, it's okay to be nervous. It's how you funnel that energy. You know, is there anything that you do to calm that nervousness down and kind of focus it on the task at hand? Because I mean, you're going to be, you know, very, very distraught possibly on the inside, and no one can see that. How do you shut that off when you're walking out to the bar for that first attempt at your first ever meet in Saratoga?
Honestly, usually it's like me doing something kind of goofy that like nobody sees. It's just like, I kind of just do it for myself, whether it's just like, oh, I'm sticking my tongue out for a second, or I don't know, just to get my mind off of it real quick. Just something goofy that for me.
So, something that someone would maybe even see you do, and they don't even think anything of it. Like,
yeah,
like you might like crack your knuckles or tug on your ear, or like you said, stick your tongue out.
Yeah.
And that's just the thing you do.
Mm-hmm. Usually it's like sticking my tongue out or just like licking the top of my teeth while my mouth is closed or something like that. Just like something that's, I don't know, like not most people that I see doing, just to like make me kind of like laugh, like, oh, all right, I'm okay.
Yeah. So it's almost like pinching yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm here. I'm alive. I can do this. Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm going to look for that now. I'm going to be like watching you like a hawk before you go do your lift. I'm like, where is it? Where is it coming from?
Yeah, I totally just try not to make it obvious at all.
Yeah. So first meet goes by very well. What did you think about doing a competition for the first time in weightlifting when you were doing it?
I thought the whole experience that we're at Saratoga was amazing. Like the whole setup was great. I was so glad when it was over though, because I told you, right? Like, after the competition was over, like my nerves started like kind of setting in and I went to the bathroom and I puked.
I think I remember that. Yeah. So it hit you after the fact.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad.
Do you think the fact that it goes by way quicker than you actually think had anything to do with that?
I mean, maybe. I felt like everything took so long. Like each lift took like an hour each
for my first. Oh, really?
Lift. Yeah, just like walking up to the snatch took like forever. Or like
okay, that's just my bias because I've done so many of them. Like I'll get done, I'll be like, man, that went by so fast. Like, and then you know, I'm like, I wish I had a fourth attempt. But I guess you know things kind of slowed down for you on your first one.
Mm-hmm. Just that was just on my first meet though. Otherwise, everything was pretty fast. Like for Auburn, like the Christmas and Kilos, that went by really quick, and then the Arnold went by really quick too.
So we did that meet in Saratoga. Shout out to Saratoga Barbell Club and those guys out there. Hope they're doing well. And then your second meet is Christmas and Kilos, like we were talking about earlier. And this was a meet that you had to do to qualify for the Arnold, and we had to hit a total that required you not only to be lifting at a super high percentage on the clean and jerk, but also to PR your snatch to do.
Mm-hmm.
So going into it, you know, I got it here in my head. We open you up with 87 kilos on the snatch and we opened you up with 85.
Yeah, 85.
85, and you missed the first attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are at a meet. It's your second meet. You know that you need to do well here to qualify for the Arnold because we want to go. What went through your head when you missed that first snatch?
Other than like, fuck, like there wasn't anything else. There wasn't anything else. I was like, oh, damn, I really messed up. And I guess like after I walked off the platform, I was just like, okay, we have two more lifts. We're okay. We can move past this.
Yeah. And we did, you know, we took it again, mm-hmm. We took 85 again. And I knew in my head that no matter what happened, whether you made it again or not, I was going to bump you up to 91, mm-hmm. which is what we needed to at a bare minimum hit to get close to being in a good position for the clean and jerk. So I knew no matter what, we're going up, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you made that. And then we made that second lift, a weight came off your shoulders, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. It felt way better,
you know, and I think I remember you're like, that was just like, it was like a little dumb error, you know, yeah. it's like when you're not paying attention enough on a lift and you just kind of just do something and you're not focused like you should be and it just falls in front of you or behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So we made that second lift and then we go up to 91 and this is a PR on the board right here that we're going for. And you had almost hit it in our practice meet that previous Wednesday.
Yeah.
You were at the bottom of the squat and then your arm buckled a little bit and then you just dropped it, which, you know, in hindsight, I'm glad we hit it at the meet because this is way more cool. Just mm-hmm. doing it at the meet. What was your mindset going into this big lift, knowing that this is not only a lifetime PR snatch, but it's also a lift that you have to make if we're looking to qualify and go to the Arnold?
I remember sitting on like the bench before walking up to the platform And the only thing on my mind was, I have to make this. There isn't anything else. I have to make this lift. There is nothing else. I can't do anything else. This is the only thing. And it was just like me sitting there kind of like rocking back and forth without my headphones. So like I could just like concentrate on that. It was just that thought process of, oh, there is nothing else. There's only this lift.
I didn't even notice that you didn't have the headphones in before that lift. Did you just not even think to put them in, or you're just like, I don't even need this right now. I can't focus on that.
I just didn't need them. I thought that would have been too much of a distraction at that point. Just because like I was really nervous before going onto that bar.
Well, that's fantastic. That just shows, you know, just the type of competitor that you are to, okay, I know when I can separate myself from all these little things that I'm carrying with me, you know, like, okay, I always listen to music before I lift, so I have to have it. You're the opposite. You threw it away before that last lift, and you're just kind of listening to the sounds of the meet, like the, you know, like people in the audience, you know, chattering, the guy over on the microphone announcing that you're on deck, and hearing barbells dropping all over the place, just kind of like that gentle hum of the weightlifting meet. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then you just use the essence of the meet to fuel yourself into going and hitting that lift. How did it feel once you had that PR up above your head? You stand up, I'm probably yelling, hold it, and the judges tell you to put it down, and you drop that bar. How'd that feel?
Felt amazing, honestly. And I do this thing, apparently, like for some reason at my meets, like I don't show that much emotion coming off the platform. But after I hit that, I looked over at a Frank and I screamed. I was like, yes, I made that. And then I think we did like a chest bump that wasn't really that great. Like I think I went off my side. I wasn't ready for it, but like it happened.
Hey, it happened. Shout out to Frank.
Yeah.
You guys will have to correct that chest bump at some point. Level it up. and I remember, you know, like we had the whole ladies team, you know, from the Barbell Club was there watching you, and everyone was screaming. Everyone at the whole place was super happy to see you hit that lift. And there were probably people that had no idea the weight behind that lift that were in the audience, and they were excited because you made it look so good.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then we moved on to the, you know, the clean and jerk. And I think we went, what, like probably 100, 106, and then 112. You hit that last clean jerk, and then we qualify for the Arnold Championships.
Yeah, it was a
Arnold Classic.
That was a good meet. I just wish I won 6x6.
Hey, it's better that way. Like, it's good because now going into the Arnold, you were a little hungrier. Hopefully we'll get 6x6 at the Arnold. Mm-hmm. That kind of takes me to the Arnold. Let's chat about that a little bit. But what were you – it's such a different animal, local meet versus a bigger meet, you know, on the national scale. What were your thoughts when you first arrived there and you walked into that big auditorium and you just saw all the seats and the judges and the platforms and all the people, and you could just instantly tell this is a different animal? What were your thoughts entering the event?
I was way more nervous than I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to be able to keep my cool. I thought I could really just like concentrate on my lifts and stuff. But then I saw like other amazing competitors out there, like other pro athletes like Maddie Saucer, or like I heard that like other famous people in like the weightlifting community would be there too. And just like everything just started setting in, like, oh wait, I'm here and I have to perform. I don't have to perform with them, but I have to perform with other athletes that are also here, and they deserve to be there too. And I was just so nervous just being around everyone.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up. You know, everyone that's there had to earn the right to be there. You couldn't just sign up to do it. You had to qualify. Mm-hmm. So it adds that whole extra level to it. And speaking of famous people, Coach Mike Bergner was the announcer for your session, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
I remember I saw him and I'm like, oh my goodness. When I realized that he was going to be announcing, I ran over to you and Frank, and I think Miguel might've been there as well. And I'm like, you guys are never going to believe, like, Coach Bergner's here, you know, and he's going to be doing the announcing. Did that make you extra nervous when you realize that you have one of the most legendary weightlifting coaches in American history sitting, you know, right off to the side watching all your lifts?
Yeah, and like secretly judging how bad they probably were.
No, he's so supportive. Like he was so happy when you came through and made that last clean and jerk.
No, honestly, him being there brought in like more energy though. Like it felt cool. It felt like, I don't even know. It was just crazy for him to even be there and like announcing my lifts my sessions lifts. That's crazy. Yeah,
and you know, saying your name, and he came into the back and he's like introducing himself to everybody and making sure he's going to say your name correctly and shaking your hand and just putting that positive energy into the room.
I appreciated that. That was really cool of him.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool moment. It's like you can go to all these meets, but it's like how many people can say, "Hey, my session was announced by Coach B." So let's go into the warm-up room here. So this is, I've mentioned this on other podcast episodes and on other shows. I've told your story.
Really?
Yeah, on other shows. But essentially what happened was, you know, we started warming up before your session. It's just you and I in the back room, and you started missing a lot of lifts. Like we did a three position at, you know, at like 35 kilos. And then we started bumping up from there, and you just started missing all these lifts. Explain to me, you know, because I don't think I've ever actually sat down with you and debriefed and got into your head. What happened? Like you missed all of your warmups in the back, and then we were in a situation where they're calling your name, and we hadn't made a warmup, and actually we hadn't even gotten a chance to do our last warmup. So we had to take like a 7 kilo jump from the warm-up we were on to the opener, which wasn't the plan at all.
I don't even know what happened during that time. I thought like just working with like the empty bar felt good, and like I missed my first lift, like my first warm-up lift, and I was like, all right, that's just a fluke. And I hit the second one, I went on my toes for that one, so I kind of had to like muscle back up. And then after that, like I kept on missing my lifts and missing my lifts. And I don't even know what was going on. I was just starting getting like frustrated. Like, you know, you saw it. I started throwing my headphones around after I missed like every single one. And I almost killed like the people behind us that was like also using the same bar to warm up with.
I would love to know what those guys were thinking, because one, I was hoping that they were going to move the chairs back. Cause I think it was when you hit 70 kilos or something like that, and you kind of wobbled back, and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to crush these guys. Like, yep. I thought I was going to see it happen. And then they kind of like, you know, when like you lift your knees up off the floor and kind of turn to shield yourself. I was hoping they were going to move. And then you start throwing your headphones and I'm like, stop it. Like I felt like a parent in a grocery store and like, they're trying to quiet yell at their kid when you're like, stop it. You know, but when you really want to be yelling a lot louder. So it's probably just the nerves, you know. That's what I chalked it up to.
Those guys were great though. They got people behind, like sitting behind us, or like while I was lifting, they were being supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
And now, you know, to kind of build on that though, just again to display on how good of a competitor you are, you miss all the warm up lifts, which I've never seen happen before, and I don't think I'll ever see it again. So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if it's ever happened before. But not only did you miss all the warm-ups in the back, and then we had to make that 7 kilo jump to the opener, you went out and you smoked the opener. Like we went from 80 to 87. You opened at 87 kilos. And that's kind of the cool thing about a meet that has a back room and curtains. Anyone out there who's watching in the stands has no idea the chaos that was just happening right before that.
I feel like they did. They probably could hear me yell back there.
Maybe. How did it feel connecting with that lift right there?
Honestly, I was so pissed. Like, I wasn't even relieved, or I wasn't like, I didn't feel good about it. I was just so pissed, like, why I missed every single one of my warm-ups after I hit, like, my opening snatch. I was just pissed the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you expect a lot out of yourself, and you don't, you know, it's almost like, you know, you want to make as many lifts as possible, the ones out on the platform, but the ones in the back too. You want to feel like you did something. Mm-hmm. And we didn't connect with any of those in the back, but then you came out, you crushed 87, Then we went 92 and you smoked that. And then we put 95 on the bar, you know, to try to go for that bigger PR. And you were pretty close to that too. We didn't quite get it, but it's kind of amazing that you almost didn't do any lifting before. And we just hit those high percentage lifts.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, after hitting my second lift, that's where I felt like the energy, like being more positive by myself. I was like, okay. So the first lift, so my opening snatch wasn't a fluke. My second snatch happened. So let's make this third one happen.
Yeah. And then on the clean and jerk, you know, we had a rough go at the clean and jerk. We're opening up at 112, you know, which was, in hindsight, it was way too heavy. You know, it was way too heavy. I know you had expectations going in on what you wanted to hit on the clean and jerk and what you wanted to open with. But in the training, you know, we were kind of lacking in the training on just being able to connect with heavier ones. And, you know, I gave in. I let you do what you wanted on the clean and jerk. And we went 112. And you missed the first two, and then you got the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy that we had such a rocky road on the snatches, but it was actually the clean and jerk that we almost bombed out on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it was just a wild ride. But hey, it was your first like national level type meet. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're going to notice now is possibly the same effect that your first meet had on you when you go back to the Arnold again or another AO. At that first meet, everything was kind of slow-mo. It was new. It was weird. The nerves are high. But then the second meet, you smoked it because you're a little more comfortable in that local meet scenario. And now, like, the sky's the limit after this Arnold. Like, not only was this your third meet and your first national level meet, but it's such a historic level competition. Like it's the only competition you're probably ever going to do that Arnold Schwarzenegger could have walked by. You know, he didn't, but like that's crazy. Like the type of people that are there at the Arnold. Mm-hmm. So it's just pretty cool. So I think the next one you do, you're going to be locked in and we're going to make all of our warm-up lifts.
Okay.
And the ones on the platform. We don't want to go the other way. Make all the warm-up lifts and then miss all the ones out on the platform. That wouldn't be good either. So interesting thing, the last month, you have been training. You've also been observing Ramadan.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that I really want to talk to you about and kind of pick your brain and hopefully help others learn as well. So first, let's talk about what Ramadan is and let's dive into how we had to kind of mold your training around it.
Okay. So Ramadan is like a spiritual month for like Muslims that are, I don't even know how to explain it. Wow, I'm really bad at this. It's just a spiritual month for like Muslims to like kind of observe their religion more. So what you have to do is during sunrise to sunset, you have to do a fast, and then when the sun sets, you can eat, and then before the sun rises, you can eat again. It's just a month to like just feel closer to God. Just like what kind of like think about what you did last year on like how were you a good Muslim, how were you just like a good person in general, and then how you can like move forward from that. And like the month itself is supposed to teach restraint, like during the month, like the main idea is just not to sin at all. So it's just a month just to restrain yourself from like all the kind of like immoral things that you might do, like lying or like swearing, kind of like small stuff like that.
So just, you know, like a month of trying to make yourself better in some way, you know, because I imagine some of the fasting will help, you know, with your body on like, who knows, maybe lose some weight, just be a little healthier in general, not indulging in a lot of sweets, fried foods, things like that. So at sunset, you could eat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you have a window, which is pretty much sunset to sunrise. Then you can eat. Although part of that window is when people are normally sleeping.
Yep.
And is exercise off the table too? Like you can't exercise during the day?
You can exercise during the day. Just I used to try to do that, and it would have to be like really low energy workouts because throughout the day, you're not eating anything and just you don't have any energy to do like actual workouts that you would normally do.
Yeah. And for anyone listening, you know, anyone who's listening, who's done strength training and where you're trying to lift heavy on a consistent basis knows that, you know, all right, if you have a rough day of eating where you didn't eat enough, doing those lifts is going to be incredibly hard. Now imagine having to do that every single day across a month. Mm-hmm. You know, did it get significantly harder as the month went on for you, Shaf, or did you just start to get used to it?
I started to get used to it, but that definitely in the beginning it was just painful, just trying to adapt to like fasting and then trying to train really late at night. It wasn't a good time at all. And I still like tried to force myself just like show up every night just to get a lift in.
Yeah. And I know, you know, the thing that we were trying to work on is making sure you're getting enough calories because you're having to do all of your eating after sunset. And then you still have to do the training as well. So getting you to eat enough calories and then also do these hard workouts, that's a lot of work. And I know sometimes you were lifting at like 3 a.m., right?
Yeah. I'll start a lift at like 1 or something, 12 or 1. And then it would like go into like almost hitting like 4 a.m. in the morning sometimes.
Yeah. So that's right as, you know, hour later, some people are getting up to start and you're just finishing your day and getting ready to end it. What do you feel kept you so dedicated? Like what about weightlifting during this month where you're like, you know, I have to stick with this and I'm going to train at 1 to 3 or 4 a.m. and I'm going to cram all these shakes down and eat all this food just to try to maintain my gains. What kept you going?
I guess like every lifting session was like an opportunity to get stronger. And I currently just want to get insanely strong. So that's pretty much what motivated me. Just like, all right, I need to come in today. We need to get this work done. No matter what happens, just make it happen.
Just make it happen. There's almost still no excuse, you know, like, cause you got that barbell, like you got the nice bar from the gym out in your garage and you got all those plates that you bought. And so it's like, it's there. You might as well use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that hard work. Oh, continue.
Oh, I mean like quarantine kind of was it was kind of like a blessing in disguise. So like, I didn't have to like do anything in the morning. So I just slept through the morning instead of having to go to like class or like work or anything like that.
Yeah, I imagine that would have made it significantly more difficult if you had to keep your regular work schedule or school schedule.
Yeah.
Still do the training.
Mm-hmm. Something would have been lacking at the end of the day.
And you're going to have assignments for both work and school. So really your assignment now was just weightlifting.
Yeah, pretty much.
And your hard work paid off because right at the end of Ramadan, you know, we started lifting from the blocks again and you hit 2 PRs. You got a PR double on the snatch of 190 pounds.
Yeah.
And a PR double on the clean and jerk for 235.
Yeah, that felt good. The whole month of Ramadan, like my lifts weren't that great. So just being able to hit that at the end was like, wow, all right, I guess I'm not bad.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not bad. You're a great lifter, Shaf. Like you gotta say nice things about yourself. But it's like it's all that hard work. And I think really what you're realizing, and I think you've realized it at certain points, but maybe even more so after this, and you can tell me if I'm right, that there are gonna be so many tough days on the training. But all those tough days are gonna contribute to the big success at the end. And you kind of can't, you know, expect every single training session to be an awesome training session, but as long as you had the opportunity to get into the gym in the first place and lift the bar, then that's an opportunity to grow. And you're just taking those steps forward and you'll reap the rewards at some point. It might be frustrating, but you have to kind of have that long-term vision for what you want and realize this is just what you need to do right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Honestly, those hard days are just so much harder now because I'm by myself. Otherwise, being with like everyone at like Albany Barbell, it just made it easier. Like if I even had like a bad day, I can see someone else having a good day, and just felt good to see that too.
Yeah, that team energy. You know, you might be having a bad day, someone else is having a good day. You could help them have an even better day by being a supportive teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, everyone has a good day, you know, because everyone who showed up and is on the team is having a good day as long as you picked up the bar.
Yep, absolutely.
I can't wait till we get back, Shoff.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not anytime soon, though.
Well, we'll see. You know, some of the information's still a little ambiguous. Yeah. So who knows? You know, I'm really hoping phase 3 will be able to open up again and we'll be able to do our thing in Barbell Club. You know, I still got to print the new leaderboard. You know, I still got to do that, you know, so that's still on my to-do list. We would have it by now, but obviously I kind of let that fall by the wayside. But that's one of my goals when we open up, is to have that new leaderboard so we can get all of our little miscellaneous PRs on the board and just definitely start going back at it.
Definitely excited to see it.
So what are you most looking to get out of your future training? Like you said just a couple of minutes ago, that you just want to get really freaky strong. Well, like, okay, that's the training goal. You want to increase your strength and you probably have some numbers that you want to hit on the lifts. What are your goals for the sport? Like you've been at the Arnold, you know, like is the goal to come back and win it next year, like a podium, like go to nationals, the American Open? What are we talking here, Shoff?
I don't know about podium next year for the Arnold, but I think the next goal right now is just to be in a better class than the Arnold or like any other national weightlifting meet if they do like the same thing for like the series 2 and series 3.
Just so instead of being like in the B session, you want to be A session or just bump up a session.
Yeah, pretty much. Just be in a better session.
Well, hey, what about those New York State Championships, Shoff?
Well, I don't know what those are about yet.
So. I told you what they're about.
What do you mean? What are they about? What do you mean?
See, all right. So here's where everyone gets to hear how this goes down between me and Shoff. So coming up in October, I believe the 17th and the 18th.
Yeah, I know.
That weekend there's going to be the New York State Championships. And I told you, I think I probably just texted you, you have a championship to win in October. And that's what we need to do. You're already the champion, Shoff. You just got to show up.
That's not true. That was not true. I feel like there's way other stronger weightlifters in my weight class.
Well, hey, they got to show up and beat you. Like you got to go in realizing you're the man, and then you got to put in the work that the champion would need to put into right now to make that happen. Because who knows? There might be people out there not training. You're up at 3 a.m., you know, putting in the work. So everything you do, realize it's all going to lead into that big meet. And then when you get there, at least you'll have the knowledge in October that you did everything you could do.
Okay, I guess.
And that already makes you the man, makes you the champion.
I'm like smiling really hard over here. I guess we're gonna have to win.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I want. That's why I posted, you know, the picture in the private group of the flags, the banners, you know, like the ladies team, because you can have ladies teams and guys teams. Mm-hmm. And I tagged all the ladies. You saw I posted. I'm like, yeah. I want that banner. Like, we're going to go in. We're going to go win that banner. Let's go. Let's start putting in the work right now that we need to do to make that happen. We got plenty of time. We got the dedication. We're hungry. Mm-hmm. Shoff, are you hungry?
Starving.
See?
I'm fasting. What do you mean? I'm starving.
I know. We're gonna fast all summer. And then in October, we eat.
Okay.
We eat gold medals and championships.
We can get them. We can get them. Do you know how everyone's doing?
Yeah, I do. Yep. Everyone's doing great. Everyone's killing it. I got people sending me videos left and right, checking in with people. Everyone's doing the best they can. So I'm really happy with it.
That's good.
We're almost done with this current training cycle. It's kind of crazy. This one flew by. And then we're going to be back at it again with we got some complexes coming up.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So
some complexes.
I don't know about that.
Thrusters are back, Shoff. Thrusters are back. Yeah, your favorite. Made me
cry. Oh my God, those are bad.
So Shoff, any parting words, any last thoughts on Albany CrossFit, the Barbell Club, weightlifting, anything you want to end the show with?
I guess I can't wait to be back in the gym and can't wait to be hitting new PRs.
Hitting new PRs with the crew.
With the crew. Absolutely. With the crew.
I like it. Awesome, Shaf. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah,
it's been great. Great talking to you, you know, longer than a couple minutes about just what workout we're doing the next day and just kind of also learning more about your story and talking about some of these experiences. Where can people follow you on social media if they want to follow you?
I guess if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's going to be taco.shaf, S-H-A-A-F.
What's this taco thing about?
Honestly, it's just like an inside joke with like my sister and my cousins and like a couple of my friends that went to, we went to Miami for just for vacation. And we went to a food truck, right? That was, they were serving tacos. And then just my cousin started calling it a taco shop instead of taco shop. And then everyone's just been calling me that ever since.
All right. So we need a max out session at the gym for the barbell club and some catered tacos. And that way we'll get our food in, we'll get our calories in, we'll lift big and
Sounds
we'll
good.
Set some PRs. I like that. Good. Yeah. We need a barbell club party when all this stuff clears up.
Okay.
Awesome. So follow Taco Shaf on Instagram. Make sure you follow the Barbell Strikes Back on Instagram. Follow James A. McDermott. Head on over to iTunes. Give the show a 5-star rating. Leave a positive review or some feedback. And like always, thank you so much for listening. Shaf, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.